All right. We're going to be studying lesson number 6 this morning. Keeping fellowship with God. That's a good thing to do. And so anyway, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we study this lesson today. May you get all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. In keeping fellowship with God, the key verse is 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. Does anybody here need a book to go by? Everybody got one? Okay, I think they do. All righty. Anyway, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And of course, that's what we're going to study today, keeping fellowship with God. You know, a lot of people they like to tell little stories. They don't like to call them lies. They just like to tell them stories. And but they don't do it necessarily on purpose. But they do it on purpose. Does that make sense? I mean, they don't admit that they do it on purpose. So anyway, then, in thinking about this in John chapter 1 and verse number 9, it provides a transforming truth that every Christian can apply to his life on a daily basis. When we sin, our fellowship with God is broken. Now, I'm speaking out to believers, basically believers, people who have been saved. But if we sin, if we commit a sin, then what's happened is we've broken fellowship with God. Now, we can get back into fellowship with God. We can be restored, but we have to confess our sins. Confess our sins. Then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's a good thing to know that God is on the throne and God loves us enough to put us back into His fold. A lot of people today in society like the aspects of Christianity. They think that's a very good thing. And there's a lot of people who profess that they are Christians, and they really don't understand what Christianity is all about. They just think because we live in America, we're Christians. I've heard people say that. But you know, that is not the case. A Christian is someone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, and so forth. But like I said, many people today, in today's society, like the aspect of Christianity, but they like the golden rule, they like the love of God, they like other elements of Christianity, they like to be called a Christian, and they like to be around people that don't cuss, and so forth and so on, but the elements of Christianity are found in the Bible. But many times people who profess to be Christians have never been born again. They're just in Christian society. And they hear a lot of these verses that are inclusive in Christianity. And they cringe because of it. Again, in John chapter 14, in verse 6, it says, I am the way, this is Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if it stopped there, they would say, yes, we believe in Jesus. But let's read the rest of the verse. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And this verse indicates that there's only one way to heaven. And that's where the hang-up is with a lot of people. They think that they have to do certain things a certain way and good works. And they believe there are lots of people who profess that they have accepted Christ as their Savior, but they believe they can lose their salvation. When a person accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, what does He give them? What kind of life does He give them? Everlasting life. We do not lose our salvation. We may lose our fellowship with God. And so, even though people don't agree with that, they say, well, you know, if I believe that you could get saved and then you never lost your salvation, you could just go out and do whatever you want to do. Well, that kind of is covered in this lesson this morning, but that's not what we're supposed to do. When we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior and we accept Him into our life and we confess our sin to Him, we ought to do it as many times as we have to keep our fellowship close with the Lord. All of us know Christians who, you know, they're just wonderful people. And they do their very best to be on top of things as far as the Lord and His Word is concerned. But then there's people who, you know, they think, well, if I'm a Christian then and I'm going to heaven anyway, I might as well do what I want to do. But that's not the case. As Christians, we accept and believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, and the only way to enjoy His fellowship, the fellowship with God, is through the confession of our sins. And so that's what we're talking about this morning, confessing our sins. Now, some people say, well, we ought to confess our sins one to another. Well, if you sin against someone, go talk to them. Ask their forgiveness. Tell them you're sorry. Do whatever you have to do. Pray with them. But when we sin, it doesn't mean we have to go spread it around. When we do something we know we shouldn't do, we need to talk to the Lord. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there, and so forth. In Psalm 66 and verse number 18, here it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if I have my heart full of iniquity, sin, I have my heart full of things that are not right. I profess to be saved, but yet I do things that are wrong. Then the Lord will not hear me. It doesn't do any good to keep on sinning and not confess it to the Lord. In 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, that's God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We lie and do not the truth. We ought to walk in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and, of course, with God. Once we're saved, we can never lose our salvation. But if we don't live as we should, we can lose our joy of fellowship. And I'll tell you, there's nothing more miserable than a Christian that's out of fellowship with God. Because we have to confess to Him, and He will forgive us. And so as we look here at this Roman numeral 1, the handling of confession. All the time, every sin, any place. Every believer needs a working relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 66 and verse 18, the Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So He will not listen to us if we have not confessed our sin. And then, well, He'll hear it, but He's not going to change it. We just can't get by with it and just skip it. And then the second verse is 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You know, as I think about that, that's something that we need to consider. Daily, all the time. I want to look at something here on. I got my notes out of my book and I got them mixed up. So let me look at this this page I got wrote down here in the big book. All right, here an illustration of all the time. Although we were once saved, we can never lose our salvation. The sin in our life can cause us to lose our joy of salvation. We can't experience the joy of thriving relationship with Christ if we have unconfessed sin in our life. So we need to unpack this transforming truth of Bible confession and confess our sins to Him. And as I said a moment ago, to one another if we've sinned against someone. So as we look at these verses, the handling of our confession, that's the first one. And every believer needs to have a working experience and a practical experience and an everyday experience with the Lord. It should be one of the key verses he lives by, and it should be practiced all the time. Every sin, every place, all the time. I have an illustration here in the manual, and the illustration is like this. If in several countries in West Africa, there's a season that lasts for around 3 months in which winds from the Sahara Desert blow strongly to these countries. This wind is called Harmattan, and it has different effects in different areas. Now, in some areas, such as Ghana, the residents may have a layer of dust that they have to clean every single day. I thought that was the panhandle of Texas. This says it was Ghana, all right? But there's enough for every person to wipe down their furniture and take care of their self, you know, spiritual cleaning in our lives. Asking God. In our lives, we may have a layer of dust. That's called sin. And it settles in our heart. And we need to have good fellowship with Christ. So the only way to do that, to have a clean heart, is to confess our sins and to have Him forgive us of our sins. You know the wonderful thing about God when we ask His forgiveness? He not only forgives, He forgets. We may do the same thing over and confess our sin, and He will forgive us of our sin. In fact, it says He will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if we do something that causes us to be physically in a bad way because we did something we shouldn't do, and we ask God to forgive us for what we did, it may not help us physically, but it'll help us spiritually. So we remember the spiritual things in our life. Confession is something that we should do every time we sin. If we, even a bad thought, just in our mind, say, Lord, forgive me. Whatever it might be. And we need to practice confession the moment we realize we've sinned. Some people just say, well, the Lord's the only one who knows about it, so I'll just let it slide. Well, that's the one we're going to give an answer to anyway when we pass away. If a sinful thought pops into our mind, the moment we catch ourselves, let's just ask Him to forgive us and go on with our life. I mean, we're human beings, and this society that we live in is a terrible thing. I mean, the way people dress, the way people talk, the way people do. There are people who will go out and they will cheat and they will steal and they'll do all kinds of things, and then they'll say they're a Christian because they don't think God knows anything about it. But God knows everything about it, and that's the key. And so what the thing is, we don't need to sin against God. And when we do, we can come to Him and He will cleanse us from our sins. And when we confess our sins at any time, anywhere, and any place, He forgives us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And so, just like I said, it's every sin. That's point number B. Every sin. In James chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, it said, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a stranger of the law. A transgressor, I'm sorry, not a stranger. A stranger from God's fellowship, but a transgressor of the law. And so what we need to do is remember that the handling of confession is all the time and every sin. Too often we try to categorize sin. We agree that we should confess big sins. There's a lot of people who, if they do something real bad or real big, they confess that. Adultery, pornography, stealing, cheating, and so forth. But God doesn't categorize sins. A little sin is just, as far as God's concerned, just as important to confess to Him as a regular sin, as a large sin. In James chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, it said, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and offend in one point is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill." I just read that a minute ago, but now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. That transgress means to go across, get out of the way of the law. In other words, do what you want to do and not what God wants you to do. And then point number C, the handling of confession can be any place. It doesn't matter where we are spiritually or physically. We can confess our sins and God will help us and take care of us. In Luke chapter 15, I want to read these verses here because they're important. Luke 15:15, beginning there. "And he went and joined himself." This is talking about the prodigal son. "He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husks which the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" In other words, what are you saying? Man, I'm thinking of home, and I've left home. And then verse 18, "I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry." You know, the sins of the prodigal son brought him to a shameful place when he got in the pig pen. And by this time, he had broken his father's heart, ignored his father's wisdom, and rejected his father's will, and all these things. But it still wasn't too late for him to return to his father. And that's the same thing we need to do when we confess our sins. We confess our sins to our heavenly Father. And we ought to confess our sins to our earthly father or mother or whoever it is we have hurt or sinned against. Many people love this story and consider it to be a picture of salvation, but it's not a picture of salvation. It's a picture of restoration, restoring our fellowship with God. He was already a son of his father. We are, once we get saved, we are a son of God, the heavenly Father. But if we go astray, we're still his son, but we're going to lose fellowship, we're going to lose rewards, we're going to be miserable, but he will forgive us if we come to him. He will restore our fellowship. Salvation doesn't have to be restored. If we're saved, we have eternal life. But when we go to heaven, we're not going to have rewards if we have sinned against God. And so as we think about this, we can handle confession any place. Like I said, it doesn't matter where you are spiritually. You can confess your sins and you can go to your father. Even as parents, if you have a straying child who disobeyed your instructions to do right, pray for them. You know, there's a lot of parents who just will get out of here and don't come back, you know. But that's not what we ought to do. We ought to pray for them if they come back. Be glad they're back and ask, and they come back. If they come back and ask for forgiveness later on, accept them with open arms and a heart full of love. There's a lot of young people and a lot of young adults and a lot of elderly people, as far as that's concerned, that have gotten away from fellowship with those they loved, and they've been gone maybe for several years. But if they come back home and ask for forgiveness and the people say, "Now get out of here," I've heard that before. I mean, I've heard people say they're not welcome anymore. You know, that's a sad thing, because there's someone who can be restored and refurbished for as far as the Lord is concerned. They're going to pay for their sins. Be sure your sin will find you out. And so on. But they ought to accept them with open arms and a heart full of love. Remember, our Heavenly Father will always take us back if we confess our sins. Then look at point number two, the heart of confession. The heart of confession. The heart of John, 1 John 1:9 is fellowship with the Heavenly Father. And so here's what that verse says. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a wonderful passage. And of course, there's some other verses in it too, and we'll read those in just a moment. Well, in fact, we'll just go ahead and read them. Beginning in verse number 3, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And then, of course, the verses we just read a moment ago. God knows our sin nature at all times, and it's going to stick its head up. Our sin nature is. You know, the devil is doing everything he can to try to discourage us from being the kind of Christian that we ought to be. A false confession hinders a relationship. Again, in 1 John 1:9, it teaches us how our relationship with Christ can be restored. It doesn't guarantee that we'll escape the consequences of our sin. That's the thing we need to remember. We will not necessarily escape the consequences. If you do something wrong and you sin, you can get forgiveness for that sin, but you will also have to pay for that sin as far as something that might harm you or something like that. In 1 Samuel 15, we saw the story about Saul of Tarsus, and not Saul of Tarsus, but Saul in the Old Testament. And he had committed sin of a particular obedience. And in 1 Samuel 15, I got a 16 through 30. Let me read that. Then Samuel said unto Saul, "Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night." And he said unto him, "Say on." And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore, Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek back, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. In other words, God said, destroy it all, and they're going to keep it. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in the obedience, obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So he's saying, it's better to sacrifice than to have what you're taking from them when you're told not to do it. And Saul said unto Samuel, verse 24, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn against me again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord had rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than you, than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. And so here we have these verses he repented, Saul repented. And what made him repent was that he wanted to escape the consequences of his actions. He didn't do it because he was sorry. He did it because he didn't want to be guilty. Now, he said, I've sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people. His confession wasn't genuine. He wanted himself to be taken care of, but he did not want to give up what he had done. Now, there's B is a true confession that strengthens a relationship. This is about David. Now, David's sin was far greater in the wrong category than was Saul's. But David repented. And it tells us here, as David was in, we talked about David last week, in contrast to Saul, he repented of his sins. The sin of David trying to put Bathsheba's husband out on the battlefield, and David David himself wanted her as his wife. And he wrote Psalm 51, 1 to 12, and here is his repentance. Have mercy on me, O God, according to the... So this is Psalm 51, verse 1 through 12. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. See, Saul didn't say that, but David is. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And so on. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. So at the time of repentance, Saul and David were in similar situations, but as I said a moment ago, Saul just wanted to get forgiven by God, and he didn't want to, he wasn't sorry. David was sorrowful. He asked God's forgiveness. It was the consequences. David was concerned with restoring a right relationship with the Lord, no matter what earthly difficulties he had to go through, and that's why he wrote Psalm 51, of course, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And there's three things that I want us to notice here in these verses. Number one, he acknowledged his sin. That was in verse number 3. Acknowledgement is an essential process. Acknowledgement. We need to acknowledge our sin. You know, if a mother or a dad talk to a son or a daughter and they try to say, "Did you do so-and-so?" And they'll say no to start with, most of the time. But if they have to, if they know they got caught, then they will try to wiggle out of it and do whatever. That was Saul. But David confessed his sins. And this is when we agree with God that we have sinned. And we can be actively involved in sin and know it is sin and choose to do nothing about it. But we need to acknowledge it and confess it. And then he admitted his guilt. David admitted his guilt. In verse 4, admission is a process involving the heart. David acknowledged his heart that he sinned against God with his life, and he had to pay for his sins. In fact, and then he asked forgiveness. And that's found in verses 12, 7 through verse number 12. And he asked forgiveness and gave true confession. And once he did that, he was God forgave him. Now, he had to pay the penalty because of what he did, but he also had his right relationship back with God. While he confessed it to God, he was an adulterous murderer. David was called a man after God's own heart simply because he asked God's forgiveness, asked God to forgive him. Saul didn't do that, and he had to pay the penalty. And then I want us to notice the third point, the hope from confession. The hope from confession. Again, 1 John 1:9 is one of the most encouraging verses in the Bible, the truth of the Bible. And we already have covered that verse, but our hope is in the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the character of Christ. His faithfulness. He is faithful to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we confess our sins to Him, He's faithful to forgive us, and we can come to Him at any time and anywhere. Faithfulness. He'll forgive us every time. That doesn't mean we should go out and sin and just come back and say, "Well, you know, I can sin all I want to, and then I'll go ask God to forgive me and He'll forgive me." That's not the right attitude. That's not the attitude that we should have. The attitude we should have is an attitude of sorry. And sorry means I'm sorry, and I'm sorry can has two different connotations. One of them is confessing, and the other one is you're sorry. But we need to remember that when we sin against God, I'm talking about Christian, when we sin, we need to ask His forgiveness. We need to ask for His justice. Our text also says that Christ is just and forgives us our sins and holy and so forth. Yet in spite of the fact that He is holy in all His ways, He still cares about sinners. He still cares about Christians who sin. He wants us to be restored in fellowship with Him. God ought to be our very best person that we talk to and confess to. In Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He, that's God, removed our transgressions from us. How far, you know, if you go west, you're always going to be going west. The world's a circle. If you go west, if that's west, I don't know where west is, but if you go west, you're going to still be going west when you get back home. And if you go east, you're going to go east until you get back home. You can't do both at the same time. You can't. It doesn't work that way. But you know what? Because God loves us, He cares for us, and we make things right with God. And regardless of how bad our sins are, He will forgive us, and so on. Then our hope, that's B, our hope in the prosperity through Christ. This prosperity through Christ. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." When we carry unconfessed sins, we might be able to fool some people, but we can never fool God. Even if we seem to prosper in our sinful state, we'll be experiencing true prosperity if we aren't keeping short account with God. We need to confess our sin to God. True fulfillment for the Christian comes when we have close communion and with the Savior. He's our Savior, our friend, and our King. And then we get down here let me get my notes out again. Our hope is in the prosperity through Christ. And in conclusion, that's always good, isn't it? In conclusion. First of all, let me mention, when we carry unconfessed sin, we may be able to fool some people, but we can never fool God. We can never fool God. Keep that in mind. True fellowship for the Christian comes when we have communion with God. He's our King, our friend, and our forgiving Heavenly Father. Then in conclusion, remember, when we sin, we don't cease to become the children of God. There's a lot of people who don't believe that. They think when you sin, then you're back out of, you're lost again. That's not so. We're saved by the grace of Almighty God. And we need to have that fellowship with Him. But we should not fall out of fellowship with Him. And if we do fall out of fellowship with Him because we've sinned against God, then we can ask Him and He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He casts our sins as far as the east is from the west. There, as I said a moment ago. So as children of God, we can't live in true peace and with our Heavenly Father if we've sinned. We need to embrace our fellowship with Him and have true peace in our hearts. And in 1 John, verse 9, we read that a moment ago. It's a transforming verse, and thank God for it. We need to confess our sins, and if He's just and will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I wrote down here, daily. We need to confess our sins daily. If you get down on your knees to pray, or if you pray in the bed, or pray at the table, or wherever you're praying, and you're praying to the Heavenly Father, and you think of something that you said to someone, or about somebody, or something that you know that wasn't right, right then, ask His forgiveness, and He will forgive you. You know, a lot of times people won't forgive someone when they ask forgiveness, but our Heavenly Father will. So if our Heavenly Father will, then we need to do everything we can to try to encourage other people and forgive them as well. Keep our confession personal. We don't have to let everybody know, and that doesn't mean that's not an excuse to go out and sin. So if you're not going to tell anybody, then you just go out and do it and have a blast. That's not so. If you're a Christian, turn it over to the Lord and don't do it anymore if it's sinful. Keep your confession personal between you and God. But if you have hurt someone by something you've said to them, then ask them to forgive you. and ask God to forgive you for what you did to them. And you don't have to tell them you did that, but just ask them. You know, friends are wonderful things. But you know, sometimes a person can just say something to a friend. They can get in a stupor. They can cuss and they can do all kind of stuff. But you know, of course, Christians shouldn't cuss at all. But we ought not to tell a lie just to make ourselves look better than somebody else. And sometimes that's the way that happens too. So let's just remember that God is on the throne and He will forgive us if we'll confess our sins to Him. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the instructions You give us in the Bible. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.